In today's gospel lesson, Jesus told the Father, "I brought glory to you here on earth by doing everything that you told me to do." Jesus honored God by fulfilling his purpose on earth. We too honor God in the same way. When anything in creation fulfills its purpose, it brings glory to God. Saint Irenaeus described it best when he wrote, "The glory of God is a human being fully alive." There are many ways to bring glory to God. I have outlined five specific ways which I would like to share with you today. If indeed we can incorporate these five steps in our lives, we can show God the glory he deserves from us. The first is to worship him. Worship is our main responsibility to God. In Scripture, we read that we should use our whole body as a tool to do what is right for the glory of God. Using our five senses in the liturgy and other church services is certainly a good start in how to worship God. However, it doesn't stop there. Since we have the children in here, let's talk about our five senses. Do you know any of your senses? Do you? What are some of the things that we can do? Go ahead, Michael. Touch. Yes, very good. What's another one? Just shout it out. Just say them. Sight. Everybody can say them. Sight, touch, smell. Yes. What else? Taste. And what else? One more. Here. Okay. So when you're in the liturgy, right, you get to do all of those things. Think about it. The first thing we do is we see, right? We see the priest and the altar boys when they come out for the processions. We hear. What did we just hear? We heard music. You hear me preaching. You hear the hymns of the church. You touch, somebody said. You actually touch when you do your cross. What do you do? Let me see you do your cross. First of all, three fingers together, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then the two pointing down. And that represents Jesus Christ is divine and he's man. So he's God and man. These two, and these three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We touch our forehead, our chest area, and our shoulders. Very good. So that's because we love the Lord our God with all our mind. Isn't your brain up here? Your heart, your soul, and your strength. What else? What did I leave out now? We said touch. We taste, right? Hear. You hear all these hymns. You tasted the communion for those of you that received, right? You smell. Sometimes we have flowers in here, right? Sometimes the incense is burning, and you smell it. It's a sweet fragrance because that represents our prayers going up to God, the smoke. So you use all of those things, yes. Yes, and we have the relics here, right? And you can kiss them and touch them. So all of those things. So that's what worship is all about in terms of the divine liturgy. But there are other forms of worship, including praying both corporally and privately to him. So what does that mean? That means you pray at home, alone, and you pray at church together, right? We're praying for everybody. I'm going to say something, because we have a very dear person in our community, Terry Bowers, and I hope it's okay for me to say this, but he is... Is it 11:30? He's going into surgery at 11:30 for a kidney transplant. He finally received a kidney. So I'm praying for him. I hope that you will pray for him. That's what this is all about. So prayer, praising, bowing. I see you all during Great Lent. When you go up to an icon, or to a relic, you should do your cross and bow down and touch the ground for humility, right? And do your cross again. And then you kiss. We have an icon of St. Demetrius here, brand new, just came in. And in the hand here are relics of the saint himself from the 4th century. So you show great respect, you bow, you kneel. Do we ever sing or even hum a church hymn when we're at home? I know I do. I drive poor Presbytera crazy. I'm walking around the house singing the hymns of the week or the special hymn that we're about to encounter. So why don't you do that sometimes? And you can look. We have now bulletins that are sent out to you on Saturday in email form. You can look at the hymn of the day, the hymns that we're going to sing that day, and you can look them over. You can read the gospel, the epistle, so that you come in here and it's not cold to you. You've heard it and you want to know more about it. That's why I'm preaching. Do we ever stop and thank God when we receive good news? You should always do that. You get an A on a test, you should thank God for it. Somebody in your family recovers from illness, you should thank God for that. These are all good things. Do we ever get down on our hands and knees and pray to God? Good. Good. You need to teach these people how to do that. The adults. The children will teach us. Do we ever reverently bow our head when doing our cross or praying before icons? We should do that. These are all acts of worship that we can use to express glory to God. Second, that was first. Second is to bring glory to God by loving others. We were all born into God's family, right? We're all one family. When you hear in the liturgy, you hear us praying, let us pray to the Lord, not let me pray to the Lord. Let us. We're praying for, we're all together, right? We're a Christian family. Following Christ is not just a matter of believing. It also includes belonging and learning to love the family of God. As St. Paul wrote, accept each other just as Christ accepted you, then God will be glorified. So we're glorifying him in that way too. It is thus our responsibility to learn and understand how to love as God does, because as we know, God is love, and by loving as he does, we pay God the honor he deserves from us. Jesus taught us this when he said, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So we have to all love each other. We next bring glory to God by imitating him. Since we are members of his family, God wants us to grow spiritually. We must think, feel, and act like Christ. We can even ask ourselves questions like, what would Christ do in this situation? Before you encounter something and you just immediately, instinctively do something, why don't you stop and think about it? Or would God be pleased with what I am about to do? Ask yourself that. The more we develop characteristics like Christ, the more we bring him glory. In the Bible we read, as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him and reflect his glory even more. The fourth way to glorify God is by serving others with our gifts. Each one of us was uniquely designed by God with talents, gifts, skills, and abilities. God did not give us our gifts for selfish reasons. They were given to benefit others, just as others were given abilities for your benefit. St. Peter wrote in his first epistle, God has given gifts to each of you from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them well so that God's generosity can flow from you. And he continues, are you called to help others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then God will be given glory. Finally, we bring glory to God by telling others about him. We mustn't keep God a secret from the world. that so desperately needs him. He expects us to share his message with others. The Bible states, as God's grace brings more and more people to Christ, God will receive more and more glory. Jesus was faced with a difficult decision towards the end of his 3-year ministry. Would he fulfill his purpose and bring glory to God, or would he look for the comfortable way out? We know what our Lord did. We too are faced with similar decisions to make. Will we choose comfort and pleasure, or will we live the rest of our lives for God's glory, knowing what he has promised us? Are we going to live for ourselves or God? Amen.